So I've titled this today, The End is Coming, because I wanted to get you thinking a little bit. Where's he going with this? The end is coming. And surely he's going to talk about end time prophecy. Surely he's going to talk about the coming of the Lord. Surely he's going to talk about the end is near. But I have a subtitle for you this morning to help clarify that. The end is never defeat. Say that with me. The end is never defeat. The end is coming, but the end is never defeat. Amen. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. And I'll be taking my text from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 this morning. I am reading from the Amplified. We do have that on the screen behind us, but you can follow along in your Bible. It will be the same thought. The wording may be just a different, but the thought will be the same. Ecclesiastes 7, 1 through 3 in the Amplified, and then in just a moment, I want to read it from the Message Bible, okay? Ecclesiastes 7, 1 through 3. If you found it in your device, say amen. If you're still looking in your written words, say, help me, Lord. Okay. It's in the Old Testament, Carl. Yeah, it's not in the New. You got to flip over more to the, it's behind Psalms. No, it's after Psalms. Right after Proverbs. You got it now? Okay, chapter 7, that would be right after 6 and just before 8. You got it? Okay. Verse 1, a good name is better than precious perfume, and the day of death better than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better and gains gladness. This could be a very confusing scripture if you don't dig into it and try to get what the exegetical meanings of these sentences are. But it's really not that difficult. And I'll try to break that down for you in just a moment. But before I do, I'd like to read verses 1 and 2 from the Message Bible. And what I like about the Message Bible, the message phrasing, is it helps us as readers to understand how the ancient Hebrew and Greek was trying to explain it in that day. And so many times we lose the meaning of the words in the Greek and the Hebrew with our English language. And so what I like about the Message is it brings it up to the 21st century. And I will read this without changing the doctrine of what King James or the Amplified may say. So in verse 1 in the Message, it says, a good reputation is better than a fat bank account. How many understands those wordings? Huh? In other words, integrity and character will always outlast wealth and status and popularity. Your death date tells more than your birth date. In other words, the true measure of life is seen in how it ends. What you leave behind. When we're born, we're starting with nothing. But when we end our life and it's over, then we leave something behind. All right? Verse 2 says, you learn more at a funeral than you do at a feast. Now, I don't know how many funerals I've done. Dwayne's done a lot of funerals. Lou's done a lot of funerals. We've done a lot of funerals in the last 49 and three quarter years. But I want to tell you something. One of the things that funerals always does, it gets people to thinking about their own death. It gets them thinking about how much time do they have left? What can I do in the time that I have left? And so it says, you learn more at a funeral than at a feast. And then it says, after all, that's where we will all end up. We might discover something from it. You know, you learn more at a funeral than you do at a feast because you do some self-examination. At a feast, all you do is feed yourself. At a funeral, you think about, am I ready to go? Are you with me today? So what I want us to look at today is as believers, as followers of Christ, end the end is never defeat. That's where we're going. Just because somebody dies, it doesn't mean it's been defeated. When Luke and Carissa's mother passed away, who was a faithful saint at Solid Rock for several years, she died of cancer, and we prayed and prayed and prayed for a miracle. We believed, we fasted. But yet, she came to that time that was called the day of her death. But I will tell you one thing, the day of Nene's death, the day of Carol's death, was a great day of rejoicing for her. It was better than the day she was born. So the end is never defeat. In fact, let me say it like this. It's fulfillment. Now, hang on with me while I crank the motor, okay? I'll get off the runway in just a moment, but we're going to taxi around for just a little bit, okay? The end of a Christ follower is always better than the beginning. Let me say it like this. The end of every trial, the end of every test, the end of every battle is where the victory's at. Do you understand that language? It's after we've gone through the battle that we get to enjoy the fruit of the spoils or the fruit of the battle. The end is always better than the beginning. Are you catching this morning? You see, the cross always comes before the crown. The refining fire always comes before the pure gold. And at the end, we shall come forth as pure gold. When we reach the end, it's really not the end. Can I hear an amen today? Are you a believer today? Do y'all believe that when you die, it's really just beginning? Victory. You've not tasted victory until you've went to the grave. Amen. And so that's you enter into that doorway where every tear is wiped away and joy shall be forevermore. There's no place like that. Amen. But have you ever noticed that when we are, after we've gone through these trials and gone through these tough times, when it's over, the victory is sweet. Can you say that with me today? The victory is sweet. There's always a great victory after the difficulties, after we've been through these times of testings and these times of hardships, these times of setbacks. We all have them. Nobody is exempt from setbacks and hardships, family problems. Listen, every family is dysfunctional. I said that one time and somebody said, oh, not me. They've been married like 40 years. And they said, we've never had an argument in our 40 years of marriage. That's what I thought, Boomer. Baloney. Never had a disagreement in 40 years of marriage. Listen, we've all been there, haven't we? Maybe you're on the way to church this morning, huh? We've all had those disagreements, but there comes an end. There's an end to some of that stuff. My wife and I may disagree, but we don't disagree forever. We're quick to say, I'm sorry. I'm quick to say, I forgive you. The greatest way to have peace in your home is to say, honey, I'm sorry. Amen? I didn't mean that. I know my tone was not the sweetest, but I really didn't mean it, honey. You got to believe me. There's an end, and at the end, there's a reward. Oh, somebody say, ha, ha, ha. At the end, there's a reward. There's benefits to saying I'm sorry. There's rewards. You go to school for 12 years. 13, 14 years, you go to college for 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, depending on what kind of a degree you're getting. You go through all that time of study, and then finally, graduation comes. They hand you the certificate. There is a reward for holding on and not giving up. There is a reward for pressing through those difficult times. And that opens up the door to a brand new life because you held on through the struggles. After 33 years of living on this earth, Jesus Christ, his life ended at the cross. But I have a question for you. Did it really end? Did it really, was it really over? Did it really end? Of course not, because what happened? 3 days later, he rose from the grave and he's still alive today. The end was the beginning. Y'all write that down. Would you write that down? The end is really the beginning of something new and good and fresh. All right. So I want us to go to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to get into the meat of the message now. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about today. And by the way, I want to say thank you to Lou Kramer, who did last Sunday morning, did a wonderful, wonderful message. In fact, Lou, now, listen, this is really strange. I got up Sunday morning and preached in a church that is 9 hours behind you. And I spoke about how that I don't like to read instructions. Anytime I get something that has to be put together, first thing I do is try to put it together without the instructions. The second thing I do is I call my nerd son-in-law, who doesn't just read the instructions, he memorizes the instructions. And then he puts it together. I could have been there struggling for 3 or 4 hours, and he'll put it together in 30 minutes because he read the instructions. That's what I taught about last Sunday morning. And then I watched the live stream Sunday night, and he's preaching the same thing that I was talking about. Don't you tell me that the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost aren't in unity. So thank you, Lou, for ministering Wednesday night and last Sunday. And Alex, thank you for ministering last Wednesday night. We've got some great ministers. I'm not worried at all when we leave. Used to, when we would leave the country, we were kind of on pins and needles because you never knew who was going to do what. But you know what? I feel safe, secure. I feel this church is in good hands when we're away. And so I want to thank all of our pastors. Anyway, let's go. Romans 12:17. Verses 17 and 18. I'm reading from the New International Version this time. Do not repay who? Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of who? Oh, boy, that's a tough one to do, isn't it? How can I do right in the eyes of everyone? How many knows there are some people you can't please? There are some people you can't get along with no matter how hard you try. Am I in the right church? There are some people, no matter how many times you ask for forgiveness and I'm sorry and let's be friends, they've already marked you off and they're not getting close to you anymore. But the Bible says, do what is right in the eyes of everyone, and if it is possible, as long as it depends upon you. You see that? As long as if it's possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace. Be at peace with everyone. Don't you just love the Bible? Woo, it is strong, isn't it? I mean, we could camp out on here for about 6 weeks and do a series. The Bible says, if it's possible, be at peace and live at peace with all men. Now, somebody says, well, Brother Rhodes, the Bible says all things are possible. Why would it say if it is possible? Because this is a challenge regarding your willingness. This does not have anything to do with God. It has to do, are you willing to be at peace with that person that is your enemy? It's going to get better. Fasten your seatbelts. This is a challenge regarding our willingness. Are we willing to love our enemies? Are we willing to love those who despitefully use us? Are you willing to say to God, Lord, I'm not spiritually mature enough to handle this. Could you help me handle this? Or are you the one that says, let me get my hands on them. I'll choke the life out of them. Yeah, I heard a couple of you laughing. That's got to be you, right? Thanks for that wonderful applause. I can't hear it, but I felt it, okay? I felt it. Some of us just need to say, Lord, This is difficult. This is hard to do. God, I need your help. It's okay to call out for help from God to help you love somebody, to forgive somebody, and walk at peace, be at peace with them. You know why? Because the human flesh doesn't have that ability. The human nature doesn't have that ability to do that. Somebody help me preach this morning. Lord, I'm sorry for that attitude. I really didn't want to choke them. That's just the first thing that come out of my mouth. That was my natural reflection. But Lord, that I know that's not like you. You're a loving God. You're not wanting to choke anybody. And so God, forgive me for thinking that. Forgive me for even saying that under my breath, Lord. Change my heart. I'm not mature enough to do it by myself. God, help me to forgive that person. You see, we've been depending upon our flesh to forgive somebody. And your flesh is rotten. I'm telling you what, your flesh is sinful. Your flesh isn't the new nature. Your spirit man has been born again, but your flesh is still rotten. Come on now. Is this okay? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, if it is possible. Now listen, I went to Vincent's word study to look this up because you know, it kind of confused me a little bit. It says, if it's possible, does that mean it's not possible? Does that mean that it'll never happen? Or does that mean it could be done? Vincent's word study says, if it be possible, not if you can, but if the other person allows it. Now see, it's a whole different color now, isn't it? It's a whole different theology now. It's not if you can, it's if the other person is willing to do that. But as far as I'm concerned, I can live peaceably with all people. Whether you can live peaceably with me or not is your problem. Come on. Aren't you glad you attend a Bible teaching church? So what it means is, as we learn to be more gracious to those that are around us, especially those we don't like or have a problem with, or those who are different than us, you'll be able to overcome that. You'll be able to overcome, and who knows, that enemy might become your friend. Maybe not. Maybe not, but maybe so. Maybe so. There could be a possibility, amen? And I'm telling you what, sometimes because of people's personalities, I've seen people I don't want to be friends with because of their personality. Can I be honest? Forgive me for being honest this morning. But there's people that's got attitudes, people that's got personalities that just clash with mine. And you think, dear God, you know, how can I ever be friends with them? But I'm telling you something. God says, if it is possible, if they're willing to let you live at peace with them. That puts the responsibility back upon us, Brother Luke. That puts the responsibility back on us, Brother Carlos. Amen? No matter how much you try, there will be those, you know, that you just can't connect to. You just can't make that connection. But listen, church, we're a family at Solid Rock. We are family. Now let me ask you this. Do you have anybody in your bloodline that you have a difficult time connecting with? You know why you're laughing? Because we all do, don't we? Oh, it may not be your son or your daughter. It may be your mother-in-law, huh? What? Whoa, I'm glad she's not here this morning, Carl. How can we live in heaven for eternity with those we don't love down here at all or get along with down here? That's why I like that song, Dwayne. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. I'm going to have a new body, Sister Brenda. Amen. Thank God in heaven there's not going to be any grudges. Can you believe, I mean, do you believe this? Think about this. Can you believe that anybody would have a grudge with me? I mean, I know me. Why would anybody have a grudge against me? Steve? I can't imagine. You know? I mean, with my personality and my love and my genuineness and my tenderness and my voice tones, I just don't understand it. But thank God, someday we're going to heaven. And nobody's going to look down Hallelujah Street and say, oh no, here comes Pastor Daryl Rhodes. I never did like that guy. He took my parking spot. Huh? They're not going to look down the road and say, oh no, here comes Roy. That was that rocker guitar player, that 60-year-old rocker player there at Solid Rock trying to be hip. That's not going to happen in heaven. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to hurt to forgive and try to live peaceably with everybody. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. But you know what that means? That means I'm coming to the end of myself. I've got to learn to come to the end of myself. I've got to come to the place where I stop being the judge. You know, verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil, right? Repay no one evil for evil. I want to ask you a question. What do we think gives us the power to repay evil to someone that's done us evil? I mean, why would we be ugly to somebody that's been ugly to us? Why would be evil? That's a bad word, evil. It's only one letter short of devil, right? Evil. You have no right, you have no permission, and we have no authority to render evil to somebody that's rendered evil to us. Folks, that's the Bible. But we Christians, we born again, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, charismatic, Bible-believing, full gospel crazies. We're so quick when somebody does us wrong to do evil back to them. Render no man evil for evil. You do not have the authority to do that. How many knows there's only one judge and it's not us? Amen? There's only one judge and it's not us. And so I think the Bible is basically saying in the Rhodes translation, what gives you the right to do that? What gives you the right to do that? Why? How? What makes you think you can do that? Just because they did it to you, you're going to do it back to them? How childish. Is it okay, Gabe? There's only one judge, and it's not us. Can I just go a little bit deeper with that? It's not even God. Do you know that God gave Jesus he committed to Jesus Christ all judgment. The Bible says he committed to Jesus all judgment. And one day, we're going to stand before the Lord, and there will be, everybody say, judgment day. We don't hear a lot of preaching about judgment day, but there is coming a judgment day. God, the judge of all the earth, has committed to Jesus Christ the judgment of all people. Now listen, one day we're going to stand before him, and he's going to judge us according to our works on earth as believers. Amen. Are you with me this morning? I wonder how we're going to be judged. Faithful? Unfaithful? Can I tell you something? Jesus isn't judging anybody right now because we're under the age of grace. Somebody say, thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Amen. Aren't you glad that God is patiently quiet right now and that we're not being judged right now? He's putting up with all your shenanigans. It's called the age of grace. That's where we're living at now, is in the age of grace. And if you're not a Christian right now, and you think you're getting by with all this stuff, I sleep with anybody I want. I get drunk every Friday night. I do drugs, and I just run around, and I do everything I want to do. And God's not got me, so he must like me. I want to tell you something. During the age of grace, he's up there sharpening his sickle. He's sharpening his sickle Because there is a day of reckoning that's coming. Somebody shout, yeah. Yeah. You think we're getting by with it. And thank God for the age of grace. But you're not always going to. Yeah, God is gracious. But there's also the wrath of God that's coming. Amen? And the second coming of the Lord is all about that. All about him executing his judgment upon the earth. Now, you don't have to go through that. He can sharpen that sickle, and it won't have to touch you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you everything, my will, my heart, my thoughts, my desires, my aspirations, my dreams. I give it all up to you, Lord. Come into my life and live within me. That's all it takes, and he'll forgive us. Amen? Okay. Now, human nature compels each of us to pass judgment on people. You say, I don't judge anybody. What about that guy that pulled out in front of you on the way to work at 5 a.m. yesterday morning or Friday morning? Or on the way home in rush hour traffic, somebody right in front of you slammed on their brakes. And I'm not going to ask you what you said because it may not be able to be repeated in church, right? But you see, human nature passes judgment. We all have a tendency to judge people one way or another. It's in our human nature. Jeff, we're born with it. We're born with it. Thank God we're born again to overcome it. But the flesh is born. It's human nature. It's woven into our human nature to form judgment about other people. That's why I love that song, Dwayne, that you sang, there's no judgment in this house. There's no judgment here. Amen. Amen. Repay no one evil for evil. Now, let me give you a definition of the word repay. Jesus said it. Paul said it. Repay means to give back, to return, to tabulate, to pay back, to make a repayment, and to hand back what was handed to you. Now, think of how silly that is. They handed me evil, so I'm just going to turn around and give evil back to them. Where'd you get that evil? What nature did that come from? Somebody shout, good preaching. Thank you for your quiet enthusiasm this morning. Have you ever heard this? Well, I heard what happened to so-and-so. They had it coming. You ever heard that before? They had it coming. Hello, who are you to say they had it coming? Well, they sowed those seeds. They're going to reap that harvest. They had it coming. Well, I'm glad it didn't come from you. Amen. What did they have coming from? I tell you what they had was repaying them for what they did. So we're saying, Dwayne, they have it coming because of what they did to me. We say that all the time. We had it coming. Repayment. We're repayment. Amen. They had it coming. We might say something like this. Good for them. They deserve it. Huh? Well, I knew it was going to happen. Good for them. I'm not surprised. I knew it was just a matter of time. I knew they had it coming. How about if we would have went to them before they got it and saying to them, you know, I understand that I upset you and you may not like me for what I'm about to say, but if you will repent from what you're doing, God loves you, and if you don't, you're going to destroy your future. You're going to destroy your life if you don't come to the Lord. Why not turn it around? Instead of rendering evil for evil, render good for evil. I hope this is helping somebody today. Let me hear an amen if you agree with this. Christians should never be nosy or meddlesome. Amen. Believers are not called to pry into other people's lives. Amen. Followers of Christ should be caring, not curious in a gossiping way. Amen. Amens are getting quiet. Christians are meant to show concern, not curiosity about other people's private matters. God calls his people to compassion, not intrusion. Amen. You get 5 stars today, Boomer. Our role is to love one another, not peer into one another's business. If so-and-so gets a new car, why don't you rejoice with them? Well, I never get a new car. Because you don't know how to rejoice with somebody that did. Hello? Why don't we learn to rejoice with those that rejoice? Is this okay today? I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach us how Christians should act around people that aren't loving and quite agree with us or don't love us. Amen? I believe the Bible condemns gossiping. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, there's one thing in there that God says he hates. Yeah, it's in the Bible. God hates those that soweth discord among the brethren. That's a powerful word. Well, I thought God is love. Well, God is love, but I'm going to tell you something. He hates those that sow discord. That's how strong he is about people agreeing with one another. Amen. Well, did you hear what happened to Alex last week? Did you hear what I heard? Do you know what somebody told me that told them about what Alex did? You know what? Your first response should be, do I need to know? Huh? Do I really need to know? Did you hear what Linda did? Where's Linda? Do we have a Linda in here? We got any Lindas? Yeah, there's... Did you hear what Linda Gillum did? Oh, I would have never thought she could do that. You know what your first question is? Before you answer, yes, I'd like to know. Do I need to know? Do I need to know? By the way, Becky, did you hear what Becky did? Don't stop translating, Becky. When somebody asks you that, you know what you ought to say is, do you mind if I quote you on this? Can I write this down? Let me tell you what Steve Slope did. That guy, he's a businessman in this town, but did you know he skimmed some money from the bank that he works for? Let me tell you what Steve said. Do you mind if I quote you on that? Can I write that down? You can defend yourself. I promise you, if you ask them, can I write it down? They will say, you know what? I think I need to go home. I left the roast in the oven and the oven's still on. Ask them if you can quote them. I promise you, that will eliminate a lot of gossiping. It'll eliminate about, did you hear what so-and-so did? Because, you know, you're basically defaming them when they're not even in your presence. When you talk about somebody, you are judging them and they're not even in the presence, like Steve said, to defend themselves. As a church family, that ought to be the first thing we should say. Do I need to know and can I quote you on this? Because I'm going to tell you something. Even in a church this small, there will always be gossip mills. There will always be gossip mills. There will always, because people are human and they can't wait to tell you how so-and-so failed. They can't wait to tell you what so-and-so did wrong. They can't wait to tell you, you know, so-and-so did. You know what? It's nobody's business. If they failed, I think we ought to pray for them. Doesn't the Bible say that when somebody fails, the stronger ought to pick up the weaker one and help them through that thing? I know emotions always come into the picture because we all have emotions. We have to deal with emotions. And especially in family life. In family life, husband and wife, we have to deal with emotions. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy to understand the other person. But we've got to get this straight. I don't care if it's your wife or your husband. We got to stop talking about them. I don't care if it's your children. We got to stop running them down. Say what God says. What's that song say? We just sang it a while ago. I believe the word. I'll take you at your word. Thank you, lady, for helping. You're the one that sang it. I'll take you at your word. I'll take you at, if you said it, I'll take you at your word. Some of us need to say, Lord, help me. I need to be crucified. I need to go back on that cross and crucify this old flesh. How many of us, the flesh likes to resurrect about every 3 days? Come on. You nail it on Sunday, and by Wednesday, you're doing the same thing again because the flesh is resurrected. Church, we're a family, and we need to stop the gossip. You say, Pastor, is there any gossip in this church? I haven't heard any. I don't want to hear any. Please don't tell me if there is any. But generally, when there's more than two or three people, there will be something going around. Amen? So, family members, do I need to hear this? And do you mind if I quote you on this? Because they are not here to defend themselves. I'm going to write this down. Do you mind if I write this down? That'll stop a lot of stuff. Come on, church, shout amen. Amen. We got to deal with it. And you know when the best time to deal with it is? Before it happens. Amen? This is called preventive medicine. I'm dealing with something before something explodes. Is that all right? Amen. The Bible says, thou shalt not judge. But yet, in the Bible, it says judge one another, and it says judge yourself. So how do we rightly divide the word of truth? Because you can't just pick out that one verse and start going around judging others when Jesus said in Matthew 7, do not judge. How do we rightly divide the word? Well, that's one of the bummers of the English language, is because we have one word for everything. The Greek had several words. It had like four words for the word love. We say, I love my wife, and I love hamburgers, and I love my job, and I love my kids, and I love to go swimming. Yeah, but that's not, those aren't all the same kinds of love. Several different words for love, and the same thing on judge. Let me give you what the Greek says here. The Greek word is krino, K-R-I-N-O, and when it says do not judge one another, it's saying do not condemn, do not damn. I'm glad Max is not here. He'd jump up and say, Papa, don't be cussing. Do not decree, do not call into question, or do not sentence. Thou shalt not condemn. It's what the Bible says. Because, you know, how many knows we've been called? Yeah, Brother Rhodes, I've been called. God's called me I have the gift of discernment. Yeah, I have the gift of discernment. No, you don't. There's no such gift. There's the gift of discerning of spirits, but there's not a gift of discernment. Well, I discern that you need to shave your beard. It's too long, and God's not going to receive you. I discern that you're not treating your wife right. I discern that you're eating too much. I discern that you need to exercise more. I discern that you need to retire. You know what? That is a bunch of junk going on in the church. Stop it! Stop it! Come on, church, help me preach by shouting amen or do something. Let me know you're listening today. I've been called to be. Yeah, here's one, Dwayne, that goes. People think they can slip under the with this. Well, I'm just a fruit inspector. Have you ever heard that one? How many's heard that one? Well, I'm just a fruit inspector. God didn't call you to be a fruit inspector. What gives you the right to judge somebody's fruit? I could pants. I could dance. I could hang out there for a while. We don't have that authority. That's reserved for God. Amen? Amen. The Bible says we are not to condemn. And when you take on that role as a fruit inspector, what you have done is you've taken on that role to inspect people's lives. That's a form of condemning, condemnation. Do you know what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 17? I don't come into this world. Listen, this is Jesus, the Son of God. I don't come into this world to condemn the world. I come to give you life. Why don't we start breathing life into people? Why don't we start speaking life into people? People that have weaknesses, people that have some failures or some faults. Why don't we speak life into this instead of condemnation? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Matthew 7:1 Amplified. Throw it up there, Brother Blake. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. Have you ever known people that were hard on people? Oh, they're just hard on people. Jesus said, I will give to you the same harshness that you give to others. That same level of harshness. He said, if you judge, condemn, and criticize, you're going to be judged, condemned, and criticized. Can we go to Luke 6? Luke chapter 6. How many is glad you're in a Bible teaching church today? Luke 6, 35 through 38. I'm reading from the Message translation. We read this a lot in the King James Version. One of our favorite verses is Luke 6, 38, where it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Man, if you've ever heard an offering teaching, you'll hear Luke 6, 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And I believe in the laws of giving and receiving. I believe in the laws of sowing and reaping. But this verse is not talking just about money. It's talking about judgment. It's talking about condemning. It's talking about not treating people right. Listen to me. Verse 35. Let's take this whole context. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. Did you hear that? Without expecting a return. Well, I'm only going to give if I know I get a return. Well, you've just violated the scriptures. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Now, this is the red letter. This is Jesus speaking, okay? This is Jesus talking. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously, even when we are at our worst. Come on, somebody take a picture of that scripture, because you're going to look at this. You're going to learn something from this today. This is Luke 6, 35 through 38, the Message translation. Our Father is kind. You be kind. He don't pull any punches, does he? Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Y'all see that this morning? I'm going to say good things about my wife. You know why? Because I want her to say good things about me. See, the Bible says if I want people to say good things about me, then I need to say good things about them. Oh, Jeff, I love you, man. I love you, sir. It's your turn. If you give, it's supposed to come back, right? Let's try it with somebody else. I love you, Steve. See how that works? I love you, Mark. See? That's why if I want my wife to say good things about me, I better be saying good things about her. Because listen, I got to read this again. Don't pick on people. That doesn't mean everybody except your family or your wife or your husband, huh? Don't pick on anybody. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Come on, Trent. Is this pretty good? Are you learning something, sir? Yeah. Was that your wife's hand that went up? Don't condemn those that are down. Well, if they just had more faith. If they were just in church more, if they would just believe God, if they would just get in the Word. Listen, just because somebody's down doesn't necessarily mean they haven't been all that. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with what? Bonuses and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way. Well, as soon as he treats me right, I'll treat her right. Huh? I think that's backwards. Come on, Dwayne. I need some front row encouragement. giving, not getting, is the way. And I love these last three words. Generosity begets generosity. Generosity. Come on, put your hands together. No more silent hand claps. Generosity begets generosity. We use that for money all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. It works in how you treat people also. Church, let's shape up. Let's straighten up. Amen? Let's stop this nonsense. Do you know how to divide a church? Through stuff like what we're talking about today. That will bring division to any church. I wanted to talk about the 2x4x8 that's in your eye while you're judging the person with a little speck of sawdust in their eye. I don't have time to get into it, but it's kind of hilarious, isn't it? Here's this guy with a 2x4x8 sticking out of his eye, and you're going over to talk to somebody that has a tear in their eye. You're going to wipe it out. Listen, you can't even see yourself. How can you help somebody when you yourself are so blinded by? Come on now, church. Amen. You know why we're not laughing? Because we probably got some planks in the church. We got any planks in the church? James 5 and 9. I'm almost done. James 5 and 9, Amplified. Do not complain or grumble against one another. Brethren, notice James is talking to his church. It's okay. I can preach this same message, can't I? Church, let's not grumble and let's not complain. Let's do our best to get along with one another. You say, Pastor, something must be going on. There's nothing that I know of going on. But boy, I tell you what, an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, isn't it? Don't complain. Don't grumble, brethren, against one another, so that you yourself may not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the very door. That's how close you are to getting back what you dished out. Amen? Here's the Rhodes Translation. I know it's not on your Bible app, but the Rhodes Translation goes like this. Do not hold a grudge against one another. Do not hold to an ongoing complaint against another believer. Do not hold an ongoing complaint. Amen? Tell you what, this is a big deal. This is a big deal, folks. This is important in the church. We can talk about the gifts. We can talk about the fruit. We can talk about miracle signs and wonders, and we can talk about healing and all that stuff. But listen, if we don't get this straight first, none of that stuff's going to follow. Roy, am I telling the truth? If we don't get this right today, we'll never experience the greater blessings of God. Amen? And I know it hurts. I know it stings. You know why? Because we're all guilty. Don't sit there and have a pity party and think I'm preaching at you. We're all guilty. I'm not singling you out. Remember that song that somebody sang years ago that you probably think this song is about you? You probably think this sermon's about you? Don't be so vain. You're not that special. That I would devote a whole hour sermon to one person. Come on, church, let's get this together. Can we do that? Can we come together? And when I say as a family, sometimes I know families can't even get together. But can we come together under the banner of love, the love of God? Can we come together and appreciate one another, the gifts, the things that other people have in them? There's something good in everybody. Amen. This is a big deal. We got to get this right. And that's why you're sitting here this morning. And I know it stings. I know it hurts. But that's why we're here today, is to learn and to grow and get some of this fleshly stuff out of us. Amen. Amen. A grudge is something we keep like a pet. We carry it around. We pet it. We even protect it. While we were gone, our little dog, our little 100-pound dog got sick. And I think we almost lost a night's sleep because of that, because he's over here, we're over there, what are we going to do? And Missy and Dwayne packed him up and took him to the vet, paid the bill, $300-something to get our dog. But I want to tell you something. How many know some people do a grudge the same way? They pick it up, they pet it, they want to make sure that everybody's treating it right. This is my grudge. Leave me alone. I have a right to hold a grudge. I have a right. Come on, church. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? We nurture that feeling. We replay that memory over and over and over. By the way, if I say, did you hear what Becky and Stan did 2 weeks ago? Brother Stan. You didn't know you was going to get in the message today, did you? This is an illustrated sermon, brother. Come up here. No, I'm just teasing. Did you hear what Becky and Stan, I heard they had a fight. I heard they hired lawyers. I heard they're getting a divorce. Now listen, you can say all that stuff and find out, you know, that it wasn't true, that you just heard it through the rumor mill. And when you tell me that stuff, let me tell you something. You can't get that picture out of your mind. Even if it's not true because you've been told, it's impossible to get that memory out of your mind. Am I right? When I was a chaplain for the sheriff's department, I made several calls with the officers, whether it was a death notification or whether it was a traffic accident. And I saw some things that you just can't get out of your mind. I heard a woman screaming in her car as it was burning up, and her husband was in the ambulance, and he heard her screaming. It took everything we had to hold him down. There was no way we could get her out of that car. He heard her burning alive. Those sounds, you don't get out of your mind. Alan Crawford and I went to an accident one time out here near Iron Mountain Lake, and there was three guys that were driving, one guy driving a truck, and three people in the front seat. That truck exploded and burned, and they were still sitting there in the car in the front seat of that truck. They were burned totally. There was nothing left but a skeleton on them, and you see that, and you see those three skulls, you see those rib cages, you see those arms and their hands, nothing but bones, and you don't forget that kind of stuff. So when somebody tells you something about somebody, whether it's true or not true, it's hard to get that out of your mind. What if it is true and they've gotten it fixed by now? You don't remember the fixing part. You just remember the ugly part. Would somebody shout, good preaching, pastor? If you don't, I'll just come down the front row and encourage myself. Holding on to grudges poisons the heart that carries it. And poison will eventually take your life. Now listen, when you release that person, you're not saying what they did was okay. You're saying you won't let that rule in your heart anymore. I refuse to let it rule me and control me and mess up my emotions. Amen? It's easy to fall into the trap of holding a grudge, to have a complaint. But the Bible tells us to let it go. You know what we do? Let it go and miss an opportunity to put it on Facebook, miss an opportunity to put it on Telegram and Twitter or X or Rumble or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, all those platforms. You mean don't put it on there? Yes. Do not put it on there. The Bible says let it go. Let it go. Don't blow up the group chat because you have a problem. You got a problem with somebody and you're on a group chat. Don't blow it up with all your come on, somebody shout amen. Let's look at another scripture. Matthew 18. This might be my last one. I think I'll have the worship team come up because that'll make you think I'm almost done. Worship team, would you quietly arise, come to the front. Try not to draw any attention to yourselves. Too late. Go ahead, just watch them. I'll just wait till they get up here. I'll just take a drink. Give our worship team a good hand. They're awesome. I hope that wasn't the Judas kiss. Okay. Here's a good one. This is in the Amplified also. Matthew 18, verse 15, 16, and 17. Here's the scriptural way to handle offenses. This is the Bible way. If your brother wrongs you, go alone and show him his fault, just between you and him privately. If he listens to you, you have won back your brother. But if he does not listen, take along one or two other witnesses so that every word may be confirmed and upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. It's gotten to the place in the church world that a pastor cannot even counsel with somebody in their office unless you have a witness present, because they can leave your office and say anything they want to say that you said. So the scripture says, take somebody with you, the biblical way, so it'll be established with two or three witnesses. If he pays no attention to them, refusing to listen and obey, take it to the church. Tell it to the church. That doesn't mean you get up here and say, Pastor Rhodes, I got a word. Got something I want to say this Sunday morning. You know, I went to John and I tried to tell John he was wrong, and John got all mad and cussed me out, and John just wanted to hit me, and I tried to talk to him, and I took a couple people with me, so I just want to stand up and tell the church, everybody, what John... No, that's not what it means. It means take it to the leadership. Take it to the leadership. Take it to the leadership of the church. Tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, then let him be to you as a pagan and a tax collector. In other words, I can see right now that there's not going to be a healing. So rather than not like you, I will separate from you and still love you at a distance. Is that okay? Okay. That's the scriptural way to do it. Oh, I just got to say this. This is good. Maybe you're saying, I can't do that. I'll never do that. I can't go to somebody and do that. What if you're sitting here this morning and your wife is nudging you and she's saying, honey, you need to go take care of that situation with the kids. They've been wounded. They're hurt. Or whatever it is. Or maybe your husband's nudging the wife and saying, you know, you need to go to that other lady that you've been talking about and get it right. You need to get it right. You know what? We need to learn to obey God. Take him at his word. Because if you don't, it's going to be pride. Everybody say pride. Pride is going to keep you from God's very best in your life. First Corinthians 11:31, stand to your feet. First Corinthians 11:31, let's stand to our feet. If we examine ourselves, detect our own shortcomings, recognize our own condition, then we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. See, there is a good judgment. It's called judging yourself. Stop judging others and judge yourself. If you want to talk about somebody, talk about yourself. Amen? If you judge yourself, you will not be judged. I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome home. You fought a good fight. You kept the faith. You allowed my word to bring correction. You didn't rebel against that word that Pastor Rhodes preached on that Sunday morning. You took the Bible. You went home and searched the scriptures. And you found out, you know, there is some correction needed on my part. With every head bowed for just a moment, I just want to ask you a couple questions. You've heard the word today. You've heard it with your natural ears. I believe you've heard it with your spiritual ears. And maybe somewhere in your heart, you're holding on to something against someone else. I'm telling you today that we did not bring this word to condemn anybody. If Jesus came into this world not to condemn, I'm surely not going to stand up here and condemn anybody. My job is not to condemn. I bring the word, you interpret it, and you either apply it or discard it. But I believe you're here today because the Lord wants to set you free. I said the Lord wants to set you free. You've struggled with this. You've always had a weakness to putting others down. You've had this weakness of maybe having too much pride in who you are. The Lord says today, let's lay it down. Let's lay it all down. The Lord's saying, let me handle it. Roll it over on me. Let me have it. Let me take it today. Stop carrying. Stop carrying what I've already nailed to the cross. It's not your burden to bear. We used to sing a song a long time ago, Sister Brenda, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. It's time we stop playing the role of the judge. It's time we stop playing the role of the judge or the loudspeaker of everybody's faults. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's your day. I'm going to ask you to make a bold move this morning. If there's been any part of this message that you know was a word from the Lord for you today, maybe just one sentence jumped out at you and you grabbed a hold of that one sentence, I want you to come to the front today, not to be shamed, but to be cleansed, to surrender, to say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I surrender all to you, Lord. I'm not the judge. I confess, Lord, you are the judge, and I've been playing that role too long. I resign from the judgment seat. Would you just let God's mercy cover you this morning? While they sing this song, would you come to the front? Would you make an altar up around these steps? Would you make an altar somewhere in this house today? And you and the Lord have this personal, personal engagement. Just kneel around the front. Come on up. Make an altar right up around the front here. I'm not saying just because you come forward, you're declaring yourself to be guilty. I'm just saying maybe you just need the help to be stronger in being a doer of the word that we talked about today. Come on, make an altar. Just find a place to kneel and pray up here today. Let's get on our knees before the Lord. Let's pray. God, I ask you to forgive me. God, forgive me. For too long, I've been the judge. For too long, I've been the attorney. God, for too long I've picked on people. I've said things I should have never said.
I want to see you.
Help me, Lord. Oh, God, I release every judgment that I've ever made. I choose to forgive others. I choose to let it go. Today, Lord, I choose today, Lord. I'm going to walk in love. Yes, they did me wrong. My boss did me wrong. They didn't treat me right. But I choose to forgive. I choose to let it go. I choose to walk in love. I didn't get the promotion, but I choose to walk in love. I refuse to condemn. God, I'll not criticize. I'll not criticize my spouse. I'll not criticize my children. I'll not criticize my pastor. I'll not criticize Solid Rock. I'll stand in the gap. I forgive. I forgive.
Holy, holy.
Come on, open the eyes. Yes, you are holy. I let it go today, Lord. I let it go this morning, Lord. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. Cleanse me, O Lord. Cleanse me today, Lord.
Oh, holy, holy, holy.
I let it go. Come on, let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Yes. That's the only way we're going to see him.
Open.